Welcome to 20 Minutes and Two Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
Yeah, he sounds like crap, folks. And it's not the Skype line. You're under the weather.
I'm playing hurt today, JD. But I'm not backing off of commitments. I'm here for the show. my voice might be a little bit shot, but not nearly what your voice was last week. So
I feel like I'm somewhat responsible for that, Bobby.
You very well may be, buddy.
Dang. Well, I was getting ready to head to Studio 714 and got a call from Bobby. Dude, I don't think you want to be around me right now.
Yeah.
So thanks for connecting on the Skype line.
Absolutely, JD. I'm excited about this week's episode. We have a guest on. Excited to have this guy on. He's from the Arrowhead Pride, Joel Thorman. He's the editor of that blog, which is a fantastic blog from SB Nation. You really get as much information. If you want information on the Kansas City Chiefs, that's the place to go to. So we were pretty excited we got him on to talk about the surprising 6-0 Kansas City Chiefs.
There's so many facets to how that team is so good, whether it's Andy Reid, you know, a rejuvenation of Alex Smith, the running game, the defense. I mean, I'm excited to hear his take on why they're having this success and can it be sustained.
Absolutely. It gives us good stuff.
I know, Bobby, that you aren't really drinking beer right now. 20 minutes, 2 years in, yeah. But you have not disappointed in your illness.
I told you, I'm playing hurt, but I'm still playing. So I've got some hot cider with a little bit of Uncle Bobby's cough syrup. I got some nice Hudson Baby Bourbon whiskey. Floating in my hot apple cider, so it helps the throat.
It helps the throat.
It does, but you're not disappointing. You're in the studio drinking beer. What do you got?
I am. I'm a Big Bay Brewing Company. They've really come on the scene a lot. I mean, with a bunch of different kinds here in Chicago. And this is delightful. It is a lager. It is their Ufer beer. It is their Oktoberfest beer. We've had these guys on the show before from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. But you know what? I'm going to give it a nice sniff and taste.
All the people at home can see you, I'm sure, sniffing that beer.
It is good. It is very good. So, speaking of beer, Bobby, I went to a wedding. This weekend, where there was no beer. It was a dry reception.
Ooh.
I know. I didn't expect it. I probably would have brought a flask or something classy.
Absolutely.
But it was a lot of fun. What was the most enjoyable part is it's one of my boys' babysitter's former teacher. Mm-hmm. She got married. And this is the first wedding we've taken James to.
Okay.
And he danced like a wild man.
He was a wild man during the bottle. Did he have some alcohol in his bottle?
It was like somebody just gave him like a whole case of Red Bull. He was a little bit of a wild man during the wedding. No big deal, whatever. But during the reception, he's sitting in his high chair, right?
Yeah.
Next to his buddy Adam, and Adam's parents were there too. Great people, and we're at the table, and they're just having fun talking and jibber jabbering. And keep in mind, James is a little over 2 years old now, and so he's a little person, all right.
Yeah.
And so he chair danced for 10 straight minutes, just chair dancing. I have video of it. It is amazing. But so later, he and his buddy Adam are on the dance floor just dancing around. These two
picking up chicks.
Oh my God. Everybody loves seeing the little kids dance. And he did. He danced and danced and danced, danced with the bride, danced with everybody, just jumping around, dancing, which was all great, all fine and good. And then it came time for the bouquet toss. So the bride tosses the bouquet, and James is kind of waiting on the side, just, seeing what's going to happen. Then, time for the garter toss. Well, James runs out on the dance floor. I'm like, come on. And my wife's like, no, just let him go. He's fine. And so the groom slingshotted the garter, and it fell short of the crowd of gentlemen waiting for the garter.
Sure.
And James ran and picked it up. So James got the garter at the wedding. Not only that, there's pictures with the bride. The bride's holding him, and he's holding up the garter and then pulling it back and forth like it's a giant rubber band with a big smile on his face. And I'm like, that's my boy. And, of course, he's holding court on that dance floor. I mean, he's
absolutely
center of attention. And my wife is like, I wonder where he got that from. And clearly got it from my wife.
Absolutely, you know, yeah. His mother. Not from you at all. You're not a people person, JD.
No, no.
You're kind of the wallflower.
I am. I don't like people. But it was pretty crazy to see him, like, he's a person now.
Yeah.
You're going to be very excited in the matter of days, weeks, who knows?
Yeah. This is going to happen coming up soon. I'm excited. I'm going to see if you can bring your son to the hospital, too, and he can pick up some nurses, too. I'm sure that'll work out for him.
Oh, he is a chick magnet. I'm afraid he's 2 years old. I think by the time he's three, I'm going to have the talk.
You might have to, buddy. See, this is going to be great fodder for when he graduates high school for the party at his at the high school graduation. So you can have all these pictures of him as a two-year-old, already a ladies' man.
Picking up the chicks. Well, it's funny, too, because he, in this digital age that we live in, he could go back and listen to these.
Yeah, he could.
You know, in 14 years, and all of a sudden be like, seriously, Dad? You talked about my poop that much. You talked about yes, I talked about your poop. That's just how it works.
Absolutely. Speaking of poop, JD, you got some music for us you want to intro?
I've got the straight poop for you. I do, and this is a group. It's hard. They are a group. They've been around. They've toured a lot. But it's a guy from a better-known group of Tool.
Okay.
His side project, he's got a few side projects. Pussifer is one of them, but A Perfect Circle is another. Perfect Circle is getting ready to release a 13-track, or the 19 tracks on the deluxe, greatest hits compilation called 360. That's coming out on November 19th. But part of that is a never-before-released track, a new one that they put together a couple years ago when they were on tour. And they just have never released it. And it's the new release on it. It's called By and Down. It's one of those things where if you like Tool, you like A Perfect Circle. I mean, it is very typical. Nothing extraordinarily new of a sound, but it's just that familiar. Just I love that their sound, and I was very happy to hear they had a new song coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. And of all the bands to release the greatest hits, it's time for A Perfect Circle to put something out there as greatest hits.
It's kind of weird though. Like his offshoot project has the greatest hits, where I'm still waiting for a new Tool album.
Yeah.
And you know, there's always rumors there. New Tool album's coming out. New Tool album hasn't happened for a while, but he's continuing to put out music, and I was very pleased to see this. So,
absolutely.
Bobby, we got a special guest coming up.
Absolutely. When we come back from this quick break, it's going to be Joel Thorman joins us from ArrowheadPride.com. Like 10 years and two more, and I held the girl closer than was safe. Take what you want from me. I'm not afraid to turn around to see you by my side. Hey,
and we're here with Joel Thorman. He's the editor of ArrowheadPride.com. It's a website that's been going on since 2006. Has all your Kansas City Chiefs news. You can also follow him on Twitter. It's at Arrowhead Pride. Welcome to the program, Joel. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, 6-0 start. There's only two undefeated teams left in the NFL. That's the Broncos and the Chiefs. You know, you guys had five Pro Bowlers on the squad last year that went 2-14. People had high expectations last year. But did anybody see 6-0 coming this year?
No, not at all. I'd say pretty much everyone thought they were going to be improved because last year was like such a fluky bad year, and they were just bad at really key positions. But they were overall like fairly talented. So people thought they would be better. I had them winning 9 games. I'd say the average pick for the Chiefs before the season was 7 to 9 wins on the season. Mm-hmm. So no, nobody saw 6-0 coming, and it's almost like as if we took every, you know, if you asked me before the season for the best case scenario for, you know, every player, I mean, just about everyone's there.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously the big turnover, you guys get a new head coach, new general manager, new quarterback. You think there's going to be some growing pains. But the thing that's really pushed you guys along is your defense is insane.
Yeah, it is. It is. This was another huge surprise. The defense has a lot of first-round picks on it. There's in the past few years, there's been like a lot of individual talent. You know, like you know Eric Berry's a good player. You know Tom Bali's a good player, and Brandon Flowers and all these guys. But they just never put it together. Mm-hmm. And so this year, Bob Sutton, new defensive coordinator, came in from the Jets. And it's a pressure-happy, you know, type of defense that sends a lot of blitzes. And it's just worked perfectly with the Chiefs defense. You know, like any good defense, you got to be able to rush the passer, and you got to be able to defend the pass, and the Chiefs can do both of those very, very well.
Well, what do you think? Last year they were running the 3-4. This year they're running the 3-4. What's really the big? I guess what is inside of that is the philosophy change that's led to the league leading 31 sacks and all the pressures that you guys are getting on the quarterback.
I'd say it probably starts with Dontari Poe. It's a little more scheme friendly for him. He can do a little more attacking rather than just taking up blockers. Mm-hmm. So he's a second year player. He's a nose tackle, drafted 11th overall in 2012, which some people thought was a reach. And you could tell in training camp this year that he was taking a big leap. It was pretty obvious even in the preseason that he was going to be a lot better. And then, you know, in the regular season, that just continued. And he's had, you know, he's got 4.5 sacks right now, which is just a monster season for a nose tackle.
Sure.
So it really starts with him. I think that makes such a difference when you've got two edge rushers like Tomba and Houston, to have those guys coming along the edge, but then also have the pocket collapsing up the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just really difficult to deal with. So the Chiefs kind of ended up in a you know, kind of a perfect pass rushing situation. But besides Dontari Poe, just the natural maturation of Justin Houston. You know, it's his third year.
Yeah.
A lot of people predicted a breakout year for him. I don't think anyone would have predicted, you know, 9.5 sacks through you know, the first 6 games.
Sure.
But we all thought he would be better, just maybe not this good. So those are the two guys that really took a huge leap this year.
Now in the secondary, obviously Eric Berry is always the big guy people talk about. Brandon Flowers, he gets, you know, I feel like people have always been hot and cold on Brandon Flowers. I've always thought he's a real good corner. Is there anybody else in that secondary who stepped up this year?
Yeah. So they brought in Sean Smith, cornerback from the Dolphins in the offseason. He's just been really, really solid overall. He's been a really good number two corner. Probably the biggest surprise this season, which the Texans will probably see this weekend, is Marcus Cooper. He's a rookie cornerback. He was drafted in the seventh round by the 49ers this year, and he was cut on cut down weekend. And on that cut down weekend, the Chiefs claimed seven players, which is a ton. They had the number one spot on the waiver wire because they were the worst team in the league last year. So Marcus Cooper came in. He was, you know, didn't really think twice of him when he signed him. He's just another one of those rookies on the team, one of a dozen defensive backs. But Flowers went down with an injury a couple weeks ago, and Marcus Cooper stepped in and was lights out. Mm-hmm. And he's done that now for a few games in a row with Flowers being a little banged up. So that, I mean, that is just a, man, to be able to have three legit corners, which I think the Chiefs do, at least through six games, that's such a huge advantage on defense. Because most teams, you know, will have the number one corner and maybe a second guy. Very few teams have, you know, very capable, you know, three capable cornerbacks, which the Chiefs do right now. So in the secondary, probably the biggest surprise has been Marcus Cooper. And you know, it's still early enough where we're still trying to figure out whether it's real or not, or whether he's just having a hell of a stretch.
Yeah, and you know, six games in, a lot of the time, that's kind of a magic number where other teams in the NFL have seen what you are. Your identity is kind of out there as a team. And one of the things that the Chiefs, I think, in order to keep on being a strong 6-0 team, keep this up, is they need to kind of make sure things are corrected on offense. And it's hard to say that about a 6-0 team. But Andy Reid this past week even said, you know, hey, the offense against the Raiders, hey, 24 points, that's nothing to shake a stick at, but it could have been better. We want it to get better. What is it that the Chiefs can do differently on offense to make it better?
You know, I mean, really, I don't know if there's a ton that's going to change, unfortunately. Anthony Fasano, the Chiefs' top tight end, has been hurt since week two, which has been a bit of a problem. I know Alex Smith likes to go to his tight end a lot more than his receivers. So if you're talking about, like, scheme change or bringing in new players, you know, I mean, I think the Chiefs are kind of at the point where they are who they are offensively. I don't think they're going to get a whole lot better. You know, what they're scoring, I think they're somewhere around 10th or 11th in the league scoring points offensively. But they're good for a defensive or special teams touchdown just about every week so far this season. Mm-hmm. So that kind of pumps that score up. But they're really, offensively, they're really scoring about 18 points a game as opposed to, I think their average is 25 or 24 or something like that. So I think that's, that's going to be an area that is going to be a problem for the Chiefs at some point down the line. You know, you got the Broncos in a few weeks, you know, play them twice, and that's a game where you have to put up a lot of points. So that's certainly the biggest question mark. That's why there are plenty of people who don't believe in the Chiefs. And, you know, they have some game breakers. It's nice to have Jamal Charles there. He's among the league leaders in touches. So they're feeding Jamal Charles as much as they can. But, you know, the Chiefs offense just, it's not going to get a lot better from week six to week 12. You know what I mean? It's kind of you are what you are right now. I think they've been kind of hurt, especially on tight end. Like I said, Fasano's out, and then a rookie, Travis Kelce, who was number two on the depth chart, he's already been put on IR. So the Chiefs are down to Sean McGrath, who was, you know, another one of those guys picked up on cut down weekend.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, that's just an area that's been a problem because of injury. So I think they'll get a little better when Fasano eventually comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the offense is going to be kind of the issue from here on out.
Now, Dwayne Bowe right now has 20 catches. If you project him out, he's going to have, with these numbers as the way they are, it's 53 catches for 611 yards and 5 touchdowns. Can this team go far if that's what Dwayne Bowe's numbers are for the rest of the season?
You know, I mean, the defense is playing well enough that I think they're going to compete in just about every game. I don't, you know, the days of the Chiefs getting blown out by 30 points, you know, with this defense, I think is just over. But you're right. When you get into the playoffs and you're on the road and you're facing one of the, you know, top five or six quarterbacks in the game, you're going to be able to need to score points, and to do that, you really got to be able to stretch the field and throw to your receivers, and that's just simply not something that the Chiefs have been able to do consistently. Donnie Avery, actually, the number two receiver, has really turned into kind of the bigger surprise there, and he's got a few balls over 40 yards, so I guess he's kind of the deep threat.
Yeah.
But you know, Bo, it's a combination of Alex Smith doesn't, you know, historically throw to his receivers as much as other quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also Bo just seems like he just seems kind of different this year. Maybe not quite as explosive. And, you know, this isn't based on any extensive film study. It's just kind of a gut feeling, you know, watching the game.
Yeah.
He just, you know, it just seems like a little different this year. So I think most people thought that Bo probably wouldn't have a monster year. He probably wouldn't have 16 touchdowns like he did a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people thought he would be better just simply because he's really, you know, the only consistent weapon at receivers. But to answer your question, yes, I do think that the lack of throwing to receivers will end up costing the Chiefs at some point.
Well, now let's talk about the division they're in, the AFC West, my favorite division. I'm always a fan. I've always called it the AFC best, but for a number of years, it hasn't been that way. Do you think we're getting close to a time again when people will talk about the AFC West as one of the stronger divisions in football?
I mean, they should right now. 2-6-0 teams. I think this is the first time since 1934 that two teams in the same division have been 6-0 or better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty rare in itself. And then you look at San Diego, and I think, you know, Phillip Rivers is having a decent season, so I think they're better, and the Raiders are the Raiders. So, you know, as long as Peyton Manning's around, as long as the Chiefs defense is playing well, I mean, I think this is going to be one of the top divisions. It's very top heavy, and you know, number one and number two in most power rankings through 6 weeks. So that kind of says it all about the AFC West right now.
Sure. Now those Raiders, I like to laugh. I am not a Raiders fan at all. And I like to laugh at the Raiders' demise, but at sometimes it kind of gets a little sad just seeing them mope along through the NFL. I can't say that I don't get any pleasure out of it, but still it's kind of sad to see it.
Yeah, they've been, you know, I thought Reggie McKenzie, the GM they got, he came from the same tree in Green Bay as John Dorsey, the Chiefs GM, and I really thought he would do a much better job than he has. I know he had some salary cap problems, but that team's been pretty bad for a couple of years under his watch.
Yeah.
Pryor looks better, but are you going to win a Super Bowl with Pryor? I mean, probably not, you know.
No.
I'm not even sure you get to the playoffs with Pryor.
No.
So he's been, you know, a pleasant surprise, but in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it really matters a whole lot. So the Raiders are like, you know, every other struggling team. Guess still got to find a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about happier things than the Raiders. Arrowhead Stadium sets the record this weekend for loudest stadium. Does that mean something to the fans of Kansas City?
Absolutely. It's you know, it's cool to have that record and everything. But like symbolically, for Chiefs fans, it was kind of, that game was kind of the return of Arrowhead Stadium. Back in the 90s, it was without a doubt the loudest stadium in the NFL. The Chiefs were always really good, and you know, they would always win 7 or 8 games a year at Arrowhead when they were making the playoffs every season. So for a lot of fans, this record was kind of saying goodbye to, you know, the era of the past past few years when the Chiefs were winning 2-4-2 games. And it kind of symbolized that Arrowhead was back, that it's one of the best advantages in the NFL. So I think from that perspective, that's kind of the longer lasting thing, is that, you know, once again, every week, Arrowhead's just going to be completely packed. It's going to be a pain in the ass for teams to, you know, to go up and deal with that. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's really hard for offenses, especially, you know, guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. I mean, they're used to that stuff, and they're smart quarterbacks, have a good handle on the offense, and they can kind of handle that sort of stuff. But bad quarterbacks are just going to get eaten alive at Arrowhead.
And, you know, I think now with DirecTV, with the experience you can have at home with it, there are a few stadiums that provide the experience that makes it worth it to go to an NFL game. I think Arrowhead is one of those stadiums that's truly the experience that you have to go through. If you're a sports fan, even if you're not a fan of the Chiefs, you need to go and experience a game there, because I think that's a game day experience that you're not going to be able to get at very many stadiums in the NFL.
Yeah, the you know, tailgating in the mornings it's just awesome. The gates open up at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and we'll always get people at, you know, 6:30 in the morning will tweet us pictures of them waiting in line at Arrowhead, and you know, spending the entire morning there doing a little boozing and a little cooking.
Sure.
But you know, that's like what I love. It fits into to kind of who the city is, you know. I mean, it's a barbecue town, and you're talking about tailgating. I mean, that's kind of like who we are. So I think it's Arrowhead's kind of got the personality of the city. And if you've never been to, you know, an NFL stadium like that, I would definitely encourage it. It's kind of like it's very similar to a college atmosphere. If anybody, you know, any of you went to a big, you know, big football school in college. That's kind of the atmosphere that it's like.
Well, Joel, we are a beer drinking podcast on here. We always feature different beers. I want to know, what is your game day beer of choice? If you're going to be tailgating in the lot or in the stadium, what's your beer of choice?
Oh, I like, there's a beer local to Kansas City called Boulevard. The good old Boulevard Wheat. It's something that I usually go with. Like in Kansas City, that's your Bud Light. That's the beer that everybody drinks.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. So that would probably be my pick. I love it.
Awesome. Well, Joel, tell us a little bit about arrowheadpride.com for the listeners that haven't been to the website.
So yeah, we've been covering the Chiefs for about 7 years. We write more about the Chiefs than anybody else out there. We have the largest Chiefs site of anybody else out there. My brother Chris and I have been running it for 7 years now. Chris works with SB Nation in D.C., and I am in Kansas City, so I regularly go out to Arrowhead to cover the team. I may go out there today. I'm not quite sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll try to catch a practice or two a week and then go to the home games as well. So we are big Chiefs fans and try to cover everything about them.
Excellent. And you can, again, go to their website, arrowheadpride.com. Follow them on Twitter, @arrowheadpride. Joel, thanks for coming on and talking about the Chiefs with us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And that was Joel Thorman. Again, big thanks from arrowheadpride.com. Good insight on the Kansas City Chiefs. And now, JD, it's my turn for music. This band is going to be releasing a new EP. It's actually going to be the first release for them. The band is called Night Terrors of 1927. And the band actually features people you would know. It's Jared Gorbel, who I've played on the podcast in the past. And also one of the members from Rilo Kiley. They teamed up to form this band. This song is called Dust and Bones, and it'll probably be off their new Guilty Please EP. The EP comes out November 5th.
it's time for our six-pack of questions. And
you lost this week.
It's the first time
to 10.
In a long time I've lost. I feel like I've really dominated you this season, and we're talking about our head-to-head pick'em pool every week to determine who has to go first. I lost, so I am man enough to admit it, even though I win the overall series so far. And but we can't do this without music. And Bobby, when should we start that?
We should start that now.
And we always miss when we're on Skype. But hey, music
now.
Bobby, my first question for you is a loaded question, but it is a simple one. Is it time for the Redskins to change their team name?
You know, with the amount of heat that they've got on it, I don't see how it's going to be able to stand the next few years. I understand. I read what Daniel Snyder wrote out to all the fans. I thought Bob Costas, with his editorial on Sunday Night Football, I listened to that as well. I didn't have a problem with it. I've listened to a lot of arguments from both sides of it, but I agree with what Bob Costas said. People do find it offensive this day and age, and understandably so, they find it offensive. So why not change the name now? You can easily change it to something that still represents the heritage that you wish to bring for that team. And also for Daniel Snyder, as he's always been interested in, you're going to make a lot of money by rebranding your team anyways. You're going to sell new jerseys, you're going to sell new stickers, new hats, everything else. So I don't see why you wouldn't want to do this. I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's offensive. And it needs to change. It's time.
Absolutely. JD, Pearl Jam is going to be following the footsteps of Justin Timberlake.
Whoa, what?
In that they're going to be doing a week-long residency on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like this concept. I like that Jimmy Fallon does it. I want to know when he goes to be the Tonight Show, when he's the Tonight Show coming up in the next year, JD, what band should be the band that does a week-long residency on the Tonight Show?
A week-long residency on the... And I love Jimmy Fallon. I really hope when he goes to the Tonight Show, he brings his bits with him. You know, the beer pong, the... You know what? You know, and advertisers love him, and that's one of the reasons why he is getting the gig, too, because he's hitting that key demographic. And bring your shtick, bring everything to the Tonight Show. Make it, you know, Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. All that being said... I would have almost been like, bring back JT, let him do a week long, because he is so funny and they have such a chemistry. And that chemistry going back to Saturday Night Live when the two of them did a bunch of stuff together. But hey, it's the Tonight Show. You have to go big. You have to, you know, just be over the top.
Absolutely.
So I think that you got to bring back old school that's going to connect to everybody, like a Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
Am I a big Bruce Springsteen fan? Absolutely not.
No, yeah, you're not a Springsteen fan pretty much at all.
I'm not. But, you know, what he did and the ratings and the reviews he got when he did the Super Bowl a couple years ago, it blew up huge. And so somebody like that. Would I like to see some of my artists, like, would I like to see Soundgarden do it? Yes. I think you need somebody with a sense of humor to be part of it, too. So I'd say the Stones, but I don't think they're going to be alive, though. So, what? Too soon? Too soon? Bobby, there is a Dodger fan, 50-year-old Dodger fan, who jumped on the dugout in the last game. We're actually, as we're recording this, watching some of it now, but jumped on the dugout in a bear costume, jumping up and down, did the splits twice.
Wow.
And was arrested.
Yep.
Promptly. But he actually got some dancing in and kicked out of the stadium, and he's got a 6-month ban of Dodger Stadium, or actually Dodger property.
Okay.
He has a 6-month ban. But he did it. He got the publicity. He's hoping it's going to turn out to be something bigger. Would you have the guts to do that?
First off, oh, sorry.
No, well, no.
Finish your thought.
Cubs are in the playoffs, and you're a big Cub fan. Would you dress up like a Cub and jump on the opposing dugout and dancing at the crowd? The crowd booed when the authorities took him off.
Yeah.
But run the risk of getting banned and that. Would you do that?
Well, if the only penalty was a 6-month ban from the stadium, that's actually not a bad thing, considering that they're not going to be playing for the next 5 months. I mean, so you're really going to miss the first month of the regular season. If that's the only punishment you get, sure, why not? Be that guy that jumps out there, gets the attention, because I'm sure that he's going to be interviewed by the media. I'm sure he's going to go on some morning shows. and dancing, doing the splits at that age is pretty impressive. I could not do the splits at my age, so I don't know how good of a dancing Cub I would be. But if that's your only punishment and you get to live out the dream of dancing on that, sure, JD, throw me up there.
All right.
I don't know if you saw this, JD. This came out this week. Now, the Colts and Broncos are playing each other. So, of course, you got to be talking about Peyton Manning returning to Indianapolis. Well, Jim Irsay, never one to step away from a microphone, was interviewed by USA Today, and they were talking about Peyton Manning's departure. And in it, he basically stated, we changed our model a little bit because we wanted more than one of these. And he pointed to a Super Bowl ring. Said Tom Brady never had consistent numbers, but he has three of these. Pittsburgh had two, the Giants had two, Baltimore had two, and we had one. That leaves you frustrated. You make the playoffs 11 times, and you're out of the first round 7 out of 11 times. You have to have the Star Wars numbers from Peyton and Marvin and Reggie. Mostly, though, you love this, pointing to his ring again.
Wow.
So he's pointing out that Peyton could only win one ring, and that's essentially why they moved on from him.
Which
today,
is not even...
Today, the Broncos head coach, John Fox, who's never been one to ever say anything about anybody.
Real quick, what did the Fox say?
Oh, you had to go there. Oh, no. Well, I can tell you right now, JD, I think we found our bit for the end of the podcast right now. But John Fox, actually, somebody who's never really said anything intriguing, I think, actually was talking about how it was a cheap shot by Jim Irsay. Thought they were disappointing and inappropriate. And I agree with him. But JD, if you're the owner of the Colts and the franchise, your all-time greatest player in franchise history, one of the top players in NFL history, is coming back to play, well, he is Baltimore, coming back to play in your stadium, why are you poking the bear?
There's no need. There's no need whatsoever. Yes, you moved on. Teams do that. They move on from their star player, whether it's financial, whether it's health. They didn't know what if you could even play ever again. And I came on this podcast and proclaimed that he would never take another snap again.
Mm-hmm.
I might have been wrong. But no, there's no need for this. Your team has a big enough challenge facing the number one team in the NFL right now. Why do it? Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. And you know everybody in the locker room is going, seriously? Really? You want to motivate Peyton Manning even more to kick our butts?
They're like, come on, what are you doing to us?
It is
our own owner's making it worse for us.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. Bobby, my last question for you is this. The little Bobby Jr., Juniorette, we don't know who he's going to be, is going to be out soon.
Mm-hmm.
First sports outfit that this individual is going to be wearing. Is the baby going to be wearing something Broncos, something Cubs, something Hoosiers?
It's going to be something Broncos because I already have a bunch of Broncos stuff already.
Okay.
So there will be Broncos gear right away. Although I'd imagine the second thing would be something Indiana.
That's fair.
Gotta make sure you get them in that as early as possible so that their earliest memories of are your team. And also we can get the photos of them in that so that we can always, you know, pitch it to them. Hey, you've always been a fan of this team. Look at you. So why would you not want to be a fan of them?
But Daddy, Uncle JD says I'm a Viking fan.
Oh, uh-huh. That'll be the day. And you know what? But by that time, JD, your son's going to be so into soccer that you're not going to really...
You watch your mouth. You watch your mouth right there, sir.
All right, JD, your last question. Earlier, you talked about going to the wedding where there was no booze.
Yeah.
And you were talking about bringing in, smuggling in your own alcohol.
But we didn't. We respected their wishes.
You did. You did.
It was a fun reception.
Just saying.
It really was fun.
So the question here, though, JD, is what is the weirdest place that you've ever smuggled alcohol into?
Great question. It was at a wedding reception.
Okay.
In the back of a church. I was in college, and our quarterback got married while we were in college.
Yeah.
And so there's a bunch of us from the team there, and the reception, the wedding was in the church. The reception was in the hall in the basement of the church, mm-hmm. And there was no booze there. So we would constantly go out to the car because we got the heads up that there'll be no booze. And we're drinking, coming back in. Drinking, coming back in. So after a while, we're like, we're just bringing it in here. So
yeah.
Under the table, you'd hear... Except one of our guys did it, our offensive lineman, Josh, in the middle of a prayer. Let's all bow our heads. I'm like, oh, come on, buddy. You're better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would probably be one of the more inappropriate places to smuggle beer.
Yes, absolutely. And the church is definitely right up there, JD.
All right. Well, hey, when we come back, last call, one stop away.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer.
And we always end with odd news with the last call, one stop away. And Bobby, mine is in Canada.
All right.
New Brunswick. And a Canadian man fought off an attacking black bear. Amazing.
Wow. All right.
Giles Sire is his name. And he was walking through a wooded property near Grand Falls, New Brunswick, 2 weeks ago when a Bruin burst out of the woods and assailed him. Now, he says, and I quote, "When I opened my eyes, it was on top of me with the friggin' nose. It's crazy the way it thing growls." Yeah, he's focusing on the growling.
Okay.
His mouth was wide open right in front of my face. So the last thing I remember, I had his tongue in my hand. So he reached in the bear's mouth and just grabbed the tongue. He says, "I didn't want to let go because he was trying to fight me off." So he was hitting me with his claws. So he's getting mauled by this big bear as he's holding its tongue. It's all I can imagine is like a cartoon, you know, when they grab the tongue out. So he said, "If it was going to hurt me, I'm going to hurt you too." So he made the bear bite his own tongue at the same time he was trying to bite him. Cyrus said he thought he was a goner. "For a second, I thought he was dead. And the first thing that comes to mind when you open your eyes and see that friggin' mouth full of teeth and tongue in there," he said, "it's like an extreme sport." I wouldn't be like, "Oh, this is an I'm snowboarding down some." No, I'm almost going to die. He said he escaped behind a tree and was lucky to wind up with only superficial claw wounds to his belly and a bite on his knee. You know, they say if you're attacked by a shark, punch it in the nose.
Mm-hmm.
If you're attacked by a bear, don't go for the tongue. This is a one in a million. He was able to grab the tongue and not get his hand bit off.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is absolutely crazy.
Wow. Well, JD, this guy probably sat on what I'm going to be talking about a lot after that incident. We've talked about the toilet museum overseas, but there's now something closer to home, JD. In California, there is now a new bathroom-themed restaurant. It's called the Magic Restroom Cafe. It's in the City of Industry in California, and it's literally what it sounds like, a bathroom-themed cafe where you're sitting on toilets. The food that comes out, yep.
Enchiladas, the food that, burritos. What's it, in the Speedo? Making bubbles.
They do have... Well, you're asking for it right here because they do have the stinky tofu, which is served in a miniature toilet bowl with rice.
What?
They have the golden poop rice. They have black poop, which is a chocolate sundae. Smells like poop, which is braised pork over rice. And this is the worst one, JD. You're going to cringe when you hear it. It's a vanilla strawberry sundae. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Bloody number two.
Oh, that's not needed.
Yeah. They opened it because of how popular a modern toilet restaurant chain is in China and Taiwan. So it just opened just this week, October 11th. And so go on Yelp and actually read some of the reviews that are up on Yelp. Again, it's Magic Restroom Cafe, and the pictures of this are really kind of terrifying. I don't know that I would ever want to eat food when I'm sitting on an actual toilet.
It sounds like a really crappy restaurant.
You know, you never know what you're going to get. It could be a crapshoot, JD.
Well, I mean, why would you go there and piss your money away? I mean, seriously.
And scene.
Well, it been a fun podcast, and it was great to talk NFL with the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks again for Joel. Thanks again to Joel for joining the show from Arrowhead Pride. You can follow them on Twitter as well, at Arrowhead Pride. Really good source of information if you're a Chiefs fan or if you're an NFL fan. They give you lots of good stuff.
Excellent.
So big thanks to him.
Well, take care of yourself, brother. And next week, we hope to have you with a full voice.
There we go.
What did the fox say?
Oh, you had to go there. Oh, no.